Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. We talk a lot in practice about how a possibility for us is to bring everything in our lives into practice. So not having practice just be something we do alongside many other activities, but in fact that practice can, if we choose it to be, can be the how of how we practice it with everything in our lives. And so it can be really fun and inspiring periodically to get to hear from Sangha how they're doing just that. And it's very fun because Penny is here to speak with us about her experience of that today. And it just so happens that the particular topic we're looking at segues perfectly with the newsletter article that just came out today with the guide. So welcome, Penny.
Hey, Sharon. Jen, how are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good.
Other than smoky?
Other than smoky, it's quite bad here today.
Oh, just horrendous. Horrendous. Yep. So, Penny, over, a period of time, I've heard you speak very eloquently about, I'm not even sure how you would frame it, civic engagement, political participation, and using that as spiritual practice. So maybe you can talk about your experience of that over the years.
Yeah, it's especially up for me right now. I look at it kind of on two levels. One is it feels like more than ever in my lifetime, it feels like the country has some big decisions to make about kind of who it is, how we are as a people, how we are with one another, how we are with the planet, how we are with facing up to some of the really big, haunting, long-term, scary issues that we've kind of let be under the radar. It feels like a lot of things are up right now. So part of what's going on for me is I want to be a participant. I don't want to kind of sit this out. I want to find ways to be active in the directions that feel to me to be important, healthy directions. And the questions are essentially spiritual questions. They're questions of how we will be. Our spiritual questions, a la Sherry's opening article in the newsletter today.
Wasn't that incredible? Wow, the timing of that could not have been more perfect. And really, I was absolutely, it's so fun, Penny. It's just so fun because, I know we're going to do this interview and I've looked at this myself and I know all of that stuff. And yet, just in your first few sentences, I already saw it in a different way than I've ever really seen it. Or a deeper way, I might say, but exactly as you say, as you are framing those questions that it feels like, the country is looking at, those are the questions that we're asking, that we want to be, hopefully, that we're asking ourselves, that we're looking at internally, because, of course, it's the internal that's then impacting everything that moves out from there.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what I find in the course of participating is, that it is indeed a spiritual exploration and a spiritual journey. I was struck that last week, one of the daily peace quotes was Sherry's ingredients for a satisfying life. And number one was dedicate your life to something you consider worthy. And so part of what has drawn me into being active is it feels like a worthy thing. It feels like a big, important thing to contribute to be a contributor in. And so over the last year, I've been active politically in the form of sending postcards to voters and keeping abreast of what's going on. And then a number of months ago, we had a person start campaigning for our congressional district. And I don't really support the current incumbent, and so this is a very good candidate. And so I decided to jump on to assisting with this person's campaign. And the fun part, there's just, the experience of being involved in something that feels worthy. But then the fun part is when you come up against your edges, which is another piece of, guidance we are often given, always given, is, go up to the edge and then go over if you can.
Yeah.
And so for me, an edge is making phone calls, making cold calls to people I don't know. And in this case, many times the calls are to people of a very different political persuasion than my own. So there's no telling, you know, what kind of response I'm going to get. And so what I've been looking at is, what I've been actually experiencing is how willingness, that dedication, can take us past all the resistances that if we just were operating from, do I want to do this or not, would stop us. Speaking personally, making phone calls would stop me. But I've made a commitment to this campaign to be available to them, and what they say they need is phone calls. You know, I would wish that they would have told me anything else, but that isn't what they said. They said make phone calls. And so, you know, it's the big yes that underlies all the little no's.
Oh, it just reminds me of that, you know, sort of that joke of, I'll do anything, God, I'll do. Well, okay, not that. Anything else.
That's right. Got another idea?
Exactly. No, I really am willing, but just that's the only thing I won't do.
That's right.
But the ability, as you're saying that, to use it as a workshop, which completely takes it out of, I like this, I don't like this, it's successful, it matters, it doesn't matter, any of that. Once you get it, that I really do, this is what I want to participate. So then you say, okay, life, I'm available. So life says, okay, great, phone calls. And so then you just watch everything that comes up, and it's fine that it comes up, but it doesn't have to stop you, and that it actually becomes an incredible workshop to see, you know, all everything you see about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to watch. I don't want to do this. There's a lot of opportunity to see how all that arises, and then also to, you know, again, if I were just operating on the level of just politics, I might go ahead and do this, but I would be still invested in. Well, I'm not somebody who makes phone calls. You know, I'm an introvert.
Okay.
I'm shy. I don't want to take the risk of rejection. I mean, that's kind of how I'd be operating. And as you say, because I've made this commitment, and because the larger commitment, of course, is to practice, and where practice takes us is, you know, is often where we're not willing to go on our own, there is the opportunity to see that all that stuff is going on and not have that be a stopper.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant, Penny, because what I just saw in that was how practice truly takes, because, okay, so you're not doing practice, but, you know, I'm political, I care about this, I'll do it. So it basically becomes, you know, more or less a survival thing. I'll get through this, right? Just hunker down and survive. So life kind of becomes one survival thing after the next. But with practice, it's completely shifted 180 degrees, and everything is part of the transformation.
Yeah, and it also occurs to me, as you said that it would also be very easy from a conditioned place and just a political place and a place I fall into periodically to becoming either from righteousness or from anger.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And have that be the energy that's driving. So to be able to sit back, I think the other night in group I described it as it's like there are these big hands holding us. And to be able to kind of rest back in those hands and from there proceed, I don't have to fall into those nasty traps.
Exactly. And those nasty traps happen, I project, at least they do for me. In other words, conversations get triggered in the mind, that righteous, that I'm right, they're wrong thing. But we don't have to believe it. We don't have to go there. We don't have to act from that place.
Right. So it's a whole different a whole different platform, a whole different place from which to go. Sherry in her email today talked about, in her newsletter article, I think she talked about, you know, spirituality is a it's like the context and the activity is political, but I don't know, I think you used the word context, but basically the context where we're coming from is spiritual practice, and that makes the activity a whole different. That makes the activity just an activity, just a chance to see what goes on.
Just a chance to see what goes on. Exactly, it really liberates us to that yes that we always talk about in practice. Right, because otherwise it can feel like I have to keep saying yes to all these things that I don't want to do. But when everything truly is just the activity through which we're seeing, through which the transformation is happening, that makes it much more, at least for me, much more available to have that yes. And it's exactly what you're describing, right? Phone calls. All right, yes. I don't have to love it. It doesn't have to be my favorite thing. But I can say yes because it's in that larger context.
The other thing that the other larger context allows me to do is actually see it ultimately as funny. You know,
yeah.
I see all the no's, all the, oh, my God, you know, I have to make phone calls. And then to just sit back and say, phone calls, you know, pick up the phone, dial the number. No, this is not a major tragedy here. And so it does give, again, a context for just actually being able to see the humor in it, too.
Yeah, that's so fun, Penny. I just saw, you know, that we talk about recording and listening through something with ourselves. Mm-hmm. I just pictured you making a recording to press play. All right, now let's pick up the phone. Okay, got that? Phone in the hand. Okay, good. Now look at the number. Now you're just kind of playing with it.
Yeah.
So fun.
And I give myself little pep talks, too. I mean, some days I call and it's just no big deal. And other days it is just, and especially if I happen to, like, get a nasty haranguey person to start with, and I'll just sit there and give myself a little pep talk, you know, you can do this. Yes, you can do this. I know you don't like to do this, but, Penny, you can do this. And so it's fun, I mean, to do that sort of self-coaching to get to do the activity because the larger commitment is there.
Yes, exactly. But there's that support to do the activity because the larger commitment is there.
Right.
Maybe this isn't my favorite thing, but I'm really committed to that larger thing. And so, I've got that support to do it. Yep. Lovely. Well, thank you, Penny, so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about this. So fun.
Thank you, Jen. Breathe on.
All right. Exactly. Or as Sherry would say, try not to, only breathe out. We can breathe in next week maybe or the week after. Yeah.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. Thanks, Penny. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Penny. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was inspiring, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I felt like a bigger and bigger perspective as the conversation went on.
It's so grand that that with practice, as Jen sort of teed this up, that practice can be the how of everything in our lives. It really does enable us to pursue the things that we really care about, even though those are difficult. You know,
yes.
Even though I'm a shy person. I don't like to, you know, calling strangers who are liable to be mean to me. You know, that's not my dream come true. But this is important to me. This really matters to me. This makes a difference for my heart. And so I have all the tools, all the skills, everything that I need to be able to do that and to take care of myself, to take really good care of myself in the process, to not come from righteousness or anger or fall into hatred or bitterness, but to do it all from a place of compassion and kindness to the best we can, best of our ability.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and I was thinking of... Yes, exactly. And I was imagining the people on the other end of the phone from Penny's phone calls. And to get a call, you know, with respect and curiosity and inquiry, you know, that is a huge gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody who to be able to have an open, kind conversation with somebody who doesn't agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's like a unicorn in this culture.
Yes.
I guess there probably never have been unicorns as far as we know. But anyway, in theory, that sort of thing used to be able to happen.
Yes.
But, boy, it's a rarity now. And so what a wonderful thing to bring that attitude to something that is so so charged now, just to bring loving kindness to something that usually is so negative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. In fact, to be able to say to somebody, you know, well, we sure don't see eye to eye on this, but, you know, I'm really glad that you care about what you care about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. That is a powerful message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I bet it's possible for us. Well, we saw one example today, so we know it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. And I have announcements here.
All right.
The sameness of our daily routines might seem monotonous, the same tasks, the same job, the same people, but life is new in every moment. In a workshop Sunday, September 20th, on the power of repetition, will help us practice staying with the freshness of now. Registration for the workshop is required by 12 noon Pacific time this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talk about some powerful practice.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And what perfect timing for it, right? Because this culture, at least, I mean, I know there are people in those workshops from different parts of the world, and I don't know. I hope they're having a wonderful experience where they are. But in this culture, you know, the whole focus has been on busy, distract, go, something new all the time, something new. And a lot of that, for a lot of folks, is really pared down. And so we're required, and of course I at least hear and read a lot about how bored people are and how you know, it's contributing to mental illness. They're depressed because they're stuck and they can't, you know, all of that sort of thing. And so to be required to practice being present as a way to escape boredom. What a gift.
Yes, a real gift.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good,
mm-hmm. And coming October 4th, you, Sherry, will lead a virtual workshop based on what you say may be the greatest spiritual practice book ever, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep.
This workshop will explore allowing the clarity of that which is to change us, and in so doing, free us from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. In preparation, you highly recommend that those of you who would like to attend the workshop listen to a recording of the book rather than read it, and practice seeing how you are every person in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. And a new quarter starts October 15th.
And Michael, what we started out talking about, what Jen and Penny were talking about, that training is for that.
Yes.
That training is for what we were just talking about repetition.
Yes.
It's a way not to think that everything in our lives has happened before. Mm. It's a way to train ourselves really to be here.
Yeah, yes.
That's good.
Yes, all of those. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, which begins October 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training.
Yeah.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length on one topic is great. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
Yes, if we can. I always laugh because keeping me on limited to 5 minutes on anything is. But we endeavor.
Well, that's why we have an hour show, so that's good.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura in San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Well, hello, Laura.
Well, hello to you both.
Laura, before you say yes. anything, okay, I will tell you that I'm not going to tell you this part because you know this part. You sent me information on a documentary called, what is it called?
Called The Social Dilemma.
The Social Dilemma. It's on Netflix. I recommend it to every human being on the planet. Okay, the Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Yes.
Do watch it. It is a must conversation starter in our culture. All right. Now, what do you want to talk about?
Well, so I mean, so I don't know, and I'm going to start there because I was watching it. So I had a cancellation tonight, so I jumped on the call, and I was watching where Condition was trying to like figure out like what I need to talk about, like what would be most helpful, and so I'm just going to take a moment, and I am watching this process that where I'm practicing from the heart, doing things that really care for this human, following life's guidance, and then 3 days later, I'm not, you know, or 2 days later, you know, and
yes,
and then
that makes you normal. Watch how if that's any consolation at all. That makes you absolutely normal. About 3 days.
And God, I'm so in love with life and in love with practice and so grateful and in love with this human. And then I'm not, you know, and it's just so humbling.
Can I ask you a practice question about that right there? Don't lose your train.
Yeah,
but do you have access to a paper calendar on which you could note this?
Yep, I do.
Okay, because that would be my recommendation, and put it somewhere where you kind of can't miss it, because conditioning will definitely try to get you not to do this. But it's not a journal. It's just noticing. You could say here, not, or yes, no, or up, down, or whatever it is. But to begin to see that as a process, not as something to feel bad about, but just that is so interesting. It's like I'm programmed.
Yes,
and this just happened. So the thing that we can do about that is, as soon as we realize it's normal, we can stop taking it personally, and we can just know. It's like I was just in a text conversation with somebody that I do that kind of thing with, who said, I'm just tired. And it was like, that's some kind of a problem, right? And I said, well, just be tired. Try not to let it mean anything, right? Because as soon as ego can get in there to make meaning out of something, then we're in big trouble. But if we just, okay, I'm tired. I don't know why I'm tired. It doesn't matter why I'm tired. Rest. Okay? It's not going to last forever. Then pretty soon I'm going to have energy. When I have energy, good. Take advantage of that energy to do what it is that you want to do. Yeah? And so with that, it when you notice that you're here, you're in love with life, you're having a great time, this is so fabulous, take full advantage of it. And when you're not having that experience, just watch it. Just notice it.
Wow, that just, I mean, it's just, it's like a breath of fresh air of just the whole body relaxes. I'm double dipping here. I was on the call this morning, and it's that same, right, the same guidance, you know, back from, the conversation with Ashwini and just watching and not getting into a conversation ever. The cue is the awareness watching when the pull is to be in the conversation. I don't know if that's.
Oh, exactly. That's great. She's very wise, isn't she? And so to be in that place puts us in the, makes us available. I was going back to the workshops, but it makes us available, leaves us available for what's happening now. And that conversation is only there to keep us from being available for now. So however I'm feeling, whatever is going on with me, I'm supposed to be in a conversation about that. Well, if I'm in a conversation about that, I'm not actually having that experience, right?
Right.
So we're way, way ahead of the game if we are in the experience we're having, regardless of what that is, right? If I am in a rage about something, I am light years ahead if I'm in that experience rather than with conditioned mind talking about an experience I'm having, which means, of course, I'm not having it.
So when you were just saying that, so I will often have this experience where I'm facilitating, I'm with the client, I'm with my kid, I'm something, and I feel like I feel totally present, and then I can feel, like, all of a sudden, I will feel self-conscious, right? And that, like, and it's like I've been, you know, truly hijacked in this moment, and, like, I stumble over, right, my words, my, you know, all of that stuff, and I find it so, then to not go to a conversation about how there's a problem with that.
Exactly right. Because the only reason it's happening is so that you will leave the situation that you're in and get into that conversation with ego. So if it's not a problem, then you'll just notice that that's happening. And in noticing that it's happening, you're not feeding it by either clinging to it and trying to make it different or avoiding it and trying to pretend it's not happening. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're just aware that it's happening, and it passes.
Yeah. And when I find that I try and fake my way through it, it just builds the insecurity.
Deadly. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think that
and
that's
not only
been
that,
my... That, yeah,
everybody can see it, right?
Yeah.
Which is the worst part.
Right. But I think that I think I'm fooling people by not just being able to say, take a moment, take a breath, or just acknowledge that it's happened. Or, you know, I don't even know what that would look like.
Yeah,
but I do know that there are times
which
when I can
you wouldn't
that.
Need to do, right? You wouldn't need to acknowledge what had happened because you'd have to go into your head to try to describe it. But what you started out with, I would support as the best impulse, which is, oh, let me take a minute here.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And then here you are, and you're paying attention to what's going on. You're not trying to hide out. You're not trying to fake it. You're not Anything? Let me just take a minute here and and now whether you're with your child or you're with a client or whomever you're with, you are legit. You haven't left, right? You haven't abandoned them. You haven't gone weird. You're just right there being. It's, you know, when we work with facilitators in facilitator training, that's the biggest thing that people have to learn is just be wherever you are in the moment, because all your modeling as a facilitator is being present. Not having the right answers, not being perfect, not being clever, not being anything, just present.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was super, super helpful.
Good. You're on to it.
Thank you both.
Yeah. Thank you. Keep us posted. Let us know. Okay?
I will.
And don't forget the calendar. Right? So, again, when we have tons of energy, just enjoy it. When we don't, just enjoy it. When we feel really here, enjoy it. When we think, oh, my God, what? Even I don't know what planet I'm on. Just enjoy it.
Huh. Okay. Okay.
All right. Good.
Thank you,
Laura.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, what I love about practice is that there's only one there's only one piece of guidance, which is to be here. And it really simplifies the whole thing.
Yes. It's just the difficulty, of course, is that it's the most difficult thing in the world.
Right.
Right, right. The answer is really simple. But the accomplishment of it is a little more challenging. Which is fine. Again, if we just acknowledge that, there's nothing wrong with us that we can't be present all the time, right? We're hugely brainwashed not to be. Of course we're going to get identified. Of course we're going to be unconscious. Of course. Of course. Of course. If it's just interesting.
Yes.
Then we can just watch it. And in watching it, as we know, if I'm watching it, I'm not it. I'm not identified with ego. I'm in awareness.
Yes, yes. And if I can sidestep the self-hate that comes soon after, then I really have a chance to be here and to learn and to see what's going on.
That's right. And the best way to sidestep the self-hate is just to out it. So you know, we pick up the recorder and say, oh, okay, well, now the voices want me to think this or to look at, believe that or go down that road of that. And after a while, you know, we get to the point where we can even say that kind of thing to other people.
Yes. Yes.
Because there's nothing wrong.
Because there's nothing wrong. Exactly. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air. I hear an echo. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Kate in Australia.
Hi, Kate.
Well, hello, Kate.
Hi.
What's going on?
I was inspired to jump in the queue from Jen and Penny's announcement conversation. And I also recently started phone banking for the elections. And I am really inspired to bring this practice orientation to the work. The funny thing in my experience was I had to know everything before I made my first phone call. just terrified of the whole situation and having to talk to people about this. And no one answered the first five calls I made, and then my time that I had set aside was done. So that was a funny experience. But I guess what I wanted to share was what inspired me and what's been really helpful in this kind of, I'm inspired to do the work, but it's been really difficult, is having a buddy. And I had a friend who set up just a calling group that we all have committed to doing, you know, 2 hours of this or an hour of this, and we all get on a call together on the computer and say hello and check in, and then we go and do our phone banking, and then we come back together and check in, and then we do our phone banking, and it's made a lot of us who are really scared to do it really get over that hump of having a support network around the work. And I just, like, and then just listening to the last phone call and thinking about the practice of facilitation and presence and reflective listening, I feel like all of these little tools in my knapsack to bring into this new exploration. I just was, yeah, excited to connect it all into a practice context.
Yeah, well, and what you've set up with your team there is like Sangha.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You're all you're all practicing together. You're all doing the same thing. You're supporting one another to do it. And so then we're not just alone with the ego, which is tremendously helpful.
Mm-hmm. And that just when someone has a tough call, that they can kind of share. You know, there's someone there to share that it's okay. And just, I mean, what a practice opportunity of being with how difficult and uncomfortable it is to have some of those conversations. Like, just, it's as I'm talking and as I'm listening, transforming the whole experience from one of, like, I've been thinking a lot about being driven in versus being with life, but like feeling like compelled to have to do this phone banking and support these campaigns versus like this is an opportunity to be with what comes up and be really present for these really important and sometimes challenging moments. And also there's a lot of really great, wonderful moments. I guess to everyone who might be listening, like there's a lot of people who are so grateful for your call and it really makes a big difference, and they get information that they might not have had about how to vote or where to vote or what's an important issue in their district. So it's also really rewarding, along with the fear that comes up with it.
Yeah, well, and it's the kind of connection that we're talking about, right? So, there are kind of mean and angry people in the world. There are, and so if we don't need to take that personally, if we can just go to that place of realizing, you know, they're not happy, and I wish they were, and there's probably nothing that I can do about that, but I don't need to take that on. I don't need to be affected by that. It can help me realize that I don't want to be that way. You know, so if somebody calls me from some group that I don't agree with, I don't have to be mean to them. Mm-hmm. I can know maybe there's somebody on the other end of that phone who struggles just like I do in the circumstances. And so can I make it a really nice experience? You know, can I be kind and thank them for calling me and be grateful that they're doing something that is meaningful to them? That could be a wonderful thing. You know, it's funny. I'm not doing that. My project is writing letters, and I was doing that this afternoon, and writing along and thinking, you know, my hand is going to fall off. I've been using a computer for way, way, way too many years, right? And now I'm holding this pen and I'm writing this, and you know, we're supposed to print, you know, because not everybody can read cursive and certainly not mine. And I just think, oh, and then I think, no, this is important. You know, I'm doing this for my country. Now, I don't know who's getting these letters. I don't know who they're going to vote for. I don't know anything about it, right? But this is something that I can do. So, again, it's something that's important to me. And so I can just shake my hand and be glad that there is something that I can do that feels good to me, like I'm making a contribution, I'm making a difference. That's great.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. It's that my teacher had, he would often say, he would often encourage us to be who you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
Be who you say you are. And it's not who you say you are to other people. It's who you say you are to yourself. So it seems like a lot of us are having an opportunity to sort of, what do I want to say, kind of not take a stand for, because that almost sounds aggressive. I don't mean that, but step out for, or do you know that? I mean, this is who I think I am. An awful lot of the time, I don't have to really prove that to myself. This is an opportunity to.
Totally. So, and that experience, I was just the person who started our, who sent an email that said, hey, I'm going to do this if anyone wants to join me this time, this day. My experience was how grateful I was that they did that, because I wouldn't have thought of it. I wouldn't have, and it was just this, I can't express how many times to her of just like, thank you so much for providing an opportunity for what feels, for many of us, feels so helpless in the face of a lot of the political system and that non-attachment to, you know, we're making, standing up for what I believe in and trying to be active and show that in my actions. And this is a way I can do that. And that feels, it's just a great opportunity to have that opportunity, to be able to do that work.
Yeah, yeah. And Kate, while I have you on slightly tangential here, our accountant, the guy who does our taxes, I've never met him, right? But he does the taxes for the whole organization, and I can tell just from his correspondence that he's a very nice man. But, you know, I don't know him. And I got a letter from him saying that through the month of September, he is going to ride his bicycle for St. Jude's Hospital. Now, St. Jude's Hospital is something that I have admired they've been there all of my life, you know, and periodically I'll see things and know that how they support families of and the children who have cancer. And I've just thought, you know, but there are so many things to give to, and especially now, right? And the gratitude that I felt to him, that he is doing that he, for me, right? He's doing that for me so that I can give to something that I want to give to, but I wouldn't, because there are all of these other places. But if he's going to make that effort, I can meet him halfway, right? And and it's something that I think it's easy for us to get talked out of, that we feel that way, that we feel grateful when somebody asks us to participate. If we're going to ask someone to participate, here comes the ego with all the self-consciousness and the, oh, you don't want to bother them, and that's so intrusive, and how could you? And just for us to go back to that place of how grateful we are when somebody asks us to participate with them in doing good in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely. And the, you know, my experience with the bridge walk work, and just having that fear of asking and sending out a little tester to a friend or a partner or someone to say, hey, is this okay? Like, what do you think people are going to think? Can I do this? Can I ask this? And overwhelmingly, the response is people are really grateful for the opportunity, the research that you've done to find something that's really worthwhile, that they know is aligned with something you're passionate about and care about. People are really grateful for those opportunities.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much.
Thanks.
Go happy, huh?
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Hey, Kate, while I have you, you know, we're in the midst of god-awful climate stuff here, as I'm sure you're following us as we followed you. Is everything back to normal in your world?
Well, we actually, I'm in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. We're in the tightest lockdown in the world. So from a COVID perspective, we're in, you know, we're allowed to leave the house. It just, we just had 1 hour a day. Sunday, we got up to 2 hours a day. So we're in pretty strict lockdown, but it feels very supportive compared to other places in the world. So that's, but the rest of the country isn't as strict as we are here. And our fire season is yet to come. So we're in opposite hemispheres.
Yeah, you're opposite from us. So how far away are you from yours?
So it'll be, last year's terrible fires came earlier than normal. Yeah. But generally fire season is closer to January and February. So that's kind of peak summer for us, peak summer months.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we followed it so closely, and then now to be in ours, and I was just wondering if, you know, if kind of nature is being able to feel like it's recovering a little, you know, seeing the plight of the animals, the creatures, as well as the humans, and it's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's wonderful to talk with you, Kate.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And Jerry, that reminds me, how is the monastery and you doing with the fire season up there?
Well, you know, we're very fortunate that we don't have any fires near us. But like the rest of the West, probably like you, where you are, the smoke is bad. Yeah, and interestingly, though, I think maybe the smoke is not quite as bad here as it is for you folks in the Bay Area. Because certainly I spoke with someone yesterday, I guess it was, who's in Oregon, someone in Sangha who texted. I texted, actually, and said, how are you doing? And she said that their place is okay. A lot of her co-workers have lost their homes.
Wow.
But the smoke is just, you know, as close to unbearable as it gets. So in all of those ways, I really feel quite fortunate. I'll be happy if we ever get to go outside again. Just having a place to be inside and at least to keep the smoke down to something that feels a bit manageable is, I feel grateful. So thank you for asking.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
And Sherry, we're going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
Oh, goody.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara in Australia.
Hi, Barbara.
Oh, my goodness. We are blessed tonight. Today, this morning.
It's the Australia show.
It's the Australia show. How's it going?
Oh, I'm so pleased to get on the call. It's a workshop. I mean, I'm aware that it's a workshop for everybody at the moment, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I've got my own little, within the big global workshop, I've got my own little personal family workshop, mm-hmm. really, with my birth family. Can I just say a little bit of content?
Oh, please, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Otherwise, we're all going to be projecting our family stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of commonality in all of it, but... I had a period of, you know, homelessness a while back, and I found, you know, there was a miracle flat that appeared that I could afford, but the kind of challenging aspect of that has been that I'm now living a few doors down from a sibling who is, you know, I've probably spent most of my adult life trying to work on that karma in that relationship. And I feel a little bit, it feels a little bit like the alcoholic that's gone back to work in a bar. But I'm also aware that, you know, on some level, life, you know, offered this, so it's, you know, I'm
right.
There's a workshop that maybe, you know, maybe I think I've done a lot of work on that relationship, but really, you know, I have to get really up close and personal with it to let it go. I don't know, but anyway, I'm here. And then in amongst all of that, you know, my mum's got early dementia and, you know, the sister that's nearby most of the care is falling on her and she's extremely stressed. And I've been trying to practice, you know, staying with what's right for me around what I can offer. And it just hasn't kind of been acceptable. There's so much pressure. And so what I'm sort of looking at is those situations where I've got my own internal pressure. You know, I've got my own ego voices, you know, telling me I should be doing more and, but whatever, having standards and everything. And then, but I've also got this sort of external person reinforcing that message, you know, with those beliefs. So the sort of the... which I guess is what family, it amplifies everything because all my internal voices have arisen out of that family context. So we've all got them.
Mm-hmm.
So
Right. And we hear people talk about that, you know, the worst of self-hatred is when we manage to have people around us who say to us the same things that we hear inside our head. That's a double whammy that is really difficult. And your point is an excellent one. Of course, siblings would be able to do that because they have pretty much the same conditioning that we have. So they would know all the words and all the buttons.
Yeah. So
as well as I would imagine. It's easy for you to project that your sister is hearing inside her head the same kinds of things that she says outside to you, right? Because she got all those same messages.
Yeah. I mean, I've been using every monthly focus, email classes, like going back a while now, this has been the focus of where I'm practicing. With whatever kind of gets presented. And so with this letting go focus, I've been practicing with letting go of being the good, right person. And I guess, you know, that sort of needing people to approve of me, to feel like I'm okay.
And because I'm, can, may I ask you about that right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that feel like part of that comes from you find yourself in a situation where you can't do it right no matter what you do? So it kind of makes sense to let go that particular karma. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. If I did it right according to, you know, those internal voices and according to my sister, it would be detrimental to my health. Like, I can't,
yeah,
you know, I'm the only one, yeah, that knows that. But,
mm-hmm. So you can't.
Yeah.
Basically, you cannot meet the standards of being the right, good person. So,
no.
Kind of helpful in seeing perhaps it's time to let go of that story.
I know, but I mean, what's come up, Sherry, is this kind of like such strong kind of terror. It feels kind of life-threatening. That's the
terror that
it's not even, I don't even really know. It's like my body goes into, you know, it wasn't exactly a confrontation, but a very intense interaction. Afterwards, you know, my body had just completely contracted. I was cold. I felt shaky. I mean, I'm trying to just stay with sensations.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really challenging. The voices are, I mean, I'm not completely identified because I'm aware of what's happening, but it's still really hard.
Well, you know, I don't know if there's any truth to this, so you'll just look at it and see for yourself. But this is just what I saw, so I'll tell you, okay? So you have intense pressure to be the right person.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't tend to just come up with that stuff on our own. Right? It tends to be the result of a fair amount of trauma. Now, whether it would look like trauma to anybody else or not, it feels like trauma to us. So the only way I'm going to be able to survive is if I'm the right person. Now, we usually get to those places when we're little kids, right? And they don't tend to evolve a great deal. Like, we don't tend to notice that me trying to be the right person by the standards in my head doesn't necessarily make me the right person by anybody else's standards, right?
Yeah.
So the, you know, the approval or the avoiding the fury, it all happens inside of us, right?
Yeah.
So there you are. You've been going along trying to be the right person so that you don't have to endure to minimize the punishment that you're going to get from the negative voices in your head, right? If you're like the rest of us, that's probably kind of how life has gone, right? And now you're in a situation where you actually can't do what you have done in order to minimize that negativity, compounded by that negativity coming from outside as well as inside.
Yeah.
So it seems like it would be very much like suddenly withdrawing yourself from a drug addiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that your whole body would go into a freak out over it.
Yeah. And it's actually bringing up an incident that happened when I was really little, but I know I've known about it intellectually. I talk about it intellectually, but I've never really felt like gone into that experience which mm-hmm. I think is partly right. what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, on the one hand, I kind of think this is exciting, because I've been being ruled like by this all my life.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it's like, I just want. Have you got any suggestions? Like,
go away and leave me alone.
Through it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's one of those places as practitioners that we can look at and with a great deal of suspicion. So, how did your life get turned around and headed in the direction where you are now perfectly positioned to have to face this thing?
Yeah.
It you know, if we don't see the world as a friendly place, then it feels like a plot. Mm-hmm. Because probably you have consciously or unconsciously done a lot to avoid facing this throughout your life. And now here you are. You're trapped.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as we like to say, is the good news and the bad news.
Yeah.
So, Barbara, do you think you can give yourself permission to be however you need to be in this?
Yeah, I think what I noticed this morning in recording about it is what. So, yes, there's what happens to my body, and then there's the voices that come in about how scary that is that that's happened to my body, and that's going to make me more sick. And, you know, so that's the bit that is, you know, that right. I have to drop. That's where the problem is, yeah.
Exactly, because we don't know how much of what goes on with your body is a result of kind of original traumas compounded by years of trying to compensate for that or survive that in whatever way. So again, we don't know. I mean, we just don't know. But there's nothing to say that ego's prediction that, oh, well, this is going to make everything so much worse. Well, maybe, or maybe it's one of those, you know, you've got a festering splinter, and really the answer is to get that sucker out of there, not to try to keep it in there so that it doesn't get any worse, because it is getting worse. So.
Yep.
The only solution for this is to get to the other side of it. And there's nothing to say that getting to the other side of it is going to be anything but beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. It's just been just really helpful to even, just to get on the call and articulate it in a way that isn't ego articulating it, you know, it's like
articulating
it from center so I can see clearly, you know, what it is.
Yes. And is your recording and listening practice serving you in this?
I'm upping that practice. I noticed that when I'm getting really triggered, I listen more than pick up the recorder and speak in that moment. I often have this really delayed response of speaking to the recorder, so that's the thing also that I think I need to shift and start talking,
especially the two-handed, right? To let that person talk about how she feels and how scary it is and but all of that. She really needs to be able to articulate what's going on with her.
Thank you so much.
Take good care of yourself.
I will. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
All right.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And Sherry, we have about 4 minutes left here, and I'm happy to go straight to that caller if you think we have time for that.
Oh, that's we'll okay. be mindful, I'm sure.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Renee in Oregon.
Oh, hello, Renee. How are things in Oregon?
Smoky right now. Yeah.
Smoky? Yeah.
Yeah, very smoky. Yep.
The sun is a color that does not look like it has anything to do with this earth.
Right, it's red. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got on, and I'll try to keep it brief. I want to talk about politics, but I also think I need to debrief just a little bit about what happened the last week. So I was just very grateful for practice through the whole thing because I would have a voice come up, say something crazy, you know, or how much I hated it or how stupid people were, or whatever it was, right? And I would just be like, no, that's not it.
That's not helpful.
True. That's not helpful. Yeah, and it was very present. I was very present during I would say I was really present during a good majority of the whole event. And
the event being when the fires actually came through your area, is that the...
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So they were here, and my job required me to be, on call when I wasn't there, so 12 hours a day at the job, and then sort of directing people where to go.
On call the other 12.
So, yeah. And so it was a lot of work as well as stress personally because there were fires close to my house and close to my son's house and all of that. So, just dealing with everything going on in a very unusual situation. So it started Tuesday at noon last week and it ended Saturday night pretty much. So as far as the danger. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing that kept arising was conditioning ego would come in, I don't want to be here, would be the big message, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would be internally saying would, well, this is where you are, and so what can you do to help, you know. So it was great to see that and then just be able to switch right into serving, you know, or being present.
Yeah.
And helping.
Yeah. Because you don't have to argue with it, right? It's like, well, of course, nobody in their right mind wants to be here, right? There's not a person for 1,000 miles who wouldn't be somewhere else right now if they could, but we can't. And so how can I help? Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Which really, really speaks to facing down resistance any and everywhere in our lives that it appears. Because it is never helpful, is it?
Yes.
I mean, you are in a catastrophe. Resistance is just not going to serve you or anybody else. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Of course you don't. What does that have to do with anything? Yeah.
Yeah, and there was never the thought that I would leave, of course, or abandon my job or
no,
or,
of course
you know,
not
anything like that.
No,
right?
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah. And it's
so good to see it.
The political conversation, the same thing.
Well, hang on, but I just want to say about that it's helpful to see it when it's so stark. You know, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Yeah, of course. So what?
Right.
It has nothing to do with what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm going to stay here, I'm going to do the very best I can. So why would we even bother to have that conversation? Okay, politics.
Well, I was just exactly what you said, exactly right. And then it comes right back around to politics in a sense because the resistance is there to not call people, to not do anything about it, and especially calling people, because that's a big thing for me too. But you do it anyway, because you care and you want to help in a bad situation.
That's right. So, yes, your point being, once again, I don't feel like it, is completely irrelevant. If it's not going to stop us from coming from our heart, then truly, why ever have that conversation?
Right.
And it's so empowering to realize you don't need to, right? That's not what motivates me. I'm going to follow my heart regardless.
Yes. And I hadn't connected the two, so that'll help me make more phone calls.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's, there you are in the fire. Somebody needs something. If it's something that you can remotely assist with, you're going to do it. And the same way with your country that you love, right? If there's something that you can do to support it, and of course we understand, people have different viewpoints, right? So one person is doing this because they're trying to protect the country they love. Somebody else is doing it, that what they're doing looks, they may be coming from exactly the same place and going in completely opposite directions. But the point is, you're going to follow your heart.
Yeah.
And so if it's uncomfortable, if it's hard, if it's scary, if it's whatever, it doesn't matter, because this is something you care about.
Exactly. And I just saw something real quick that when you said that, there were no viewpoints in the crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't matter. Yeah.
That's right. So we're going to helicopter somebody out, or we're going to do everything we can to save their house, or get their pets out, or whatever it is. We're not saying, now, are you on the left or are you on the right? How are you going to vote? Because if you're not voting the way I think you ought to vote, we're letting your house burn. I mean, that's just
right.
That's just not going to happen. Yep. At that point, we're all just folks. We're all just people, and we're so much alike.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
So big.
Take care.
Uh-huh. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. And yes, Sherry, so big. So big.
Mm.
So big.
Big times. Big times. And it's always a big time for spiritual practice. But boy, this feels like such a mirror, right? How people have basically a perfect privileged life, right? And then ego can find the one thing out of the day that didn't go the way ego thinks we should be concerned about, and that's what it wants to go on about. Now, circumstances of people's lives are really, ego almost doesn't know what to do with it, right? And so it really does put us in that place. It puts us in touch with our heart in a way that I think it can be easy for us to miss when life is going really well and everything is easy and that. You know, we just see it everywhere. There's no time or energy to indulge pettiness. There just isn't.
Yes. And it feels, in these big times, to have a spiritual practice, an awareness practice, a sangha, a guide that is as big as that, bigger than that. It's incredibly supportive to me.
Yeah. We together we can contain it all and
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Goes back to Kate's little group on the call. Right? One person, incredibly scary. Together, we can do this.
Yes.
We can do this.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself,
me too.
Okay?
You too.
All right.
Go happy.
Talk to you soon. Go happy.